Hello everyone and welcome to Raw Talks podcast with me Sarah together with Simba and Mark from Living with the Spirit, and we are here to offer you raw and real conversations about physical, emotional and spiritual transformation. We are specialized in regulating the nervous system, somatic work, energetics, shadow work and deep and unique body work. Our purpose here today is to share our journey and our teachings with conscious leaders just like you and to unlock anything that is holding you back from living a life of freedom and purpose. We are truly grateful and honored to have you with us, and let's explore. Hello everyone, and welcome to this exclusive conversation.
It's decaf.
It's decaf. between me and Kimmy about crossroads, creating a new chapter in life and doing massive change. So I would actually like to invite you, Kim, to just give a little bit of background of what you are doing and what's like to a short summary of your situation so it's easier for people to jump in.
Okay, so I'm currently in a highly stressful corporate role. I work for a five-star resort company and I'm head of spa and wellbeing worldwide, which sounds a lot more glamorous than it is. It's actually just like amounting to an average of, you know, 12 to and a plus hours of work a day. And I've been coping with this some time. So that's why I originally did my visit to the farm, because I was burning out and my beautiful 21 days at the farm. And then I came back. Thank God I did the mentorship and continued with the mentorship, because I think that gave me the strength to resign. So I officially gave in my resignation on the 1st of February, and they asked me to extend. So my last day is the 19th of April. So I've given in my notice from this. You know, this is the highest paying job I've ever had. It's the highest ranking job. Not that that really means much for me, but it's honestly, you know, all that glitters is not gold. Like when I got the job, I thought, oh my God, you know, I've landed my dream role. And I remember at the time it took a lot of interviews and a lot of work for me to get the role. So I think the universe, my higher power, whatever you want to call it, was trying to tell me something. But I kept pushing through for what I felt I wanted. And it's just turned into a bit of a living nightmare. So I've now been 2 years and a month. So by the time I finished, it'll be 2 years and 2 months. So I've resigned and I'm going to repatriate to Australia for a while. So I have no other job to go to. I have no idea my next right step. I'm married to a Thai man, so he's either got to sell up and follow me to Australia or not. That will be his decision. I've got to pack up or give away or sell up my house and have a fresh start. So it's everything, you know, my house, my marriage, my job. So it's a huge amount of change, which previously I've always prided myself. I mean, yeah, I love change. I can deal with change. But I'm suddenly realizing that's actually not true. I'm actually finding it quite emotional, quite traumatic, quite stressful to be at a crossroads, particularly when I don't trust my own judgment on what the next right step is, which I think this job has had a lot to do with, or even my traumas in the past. That I'm still working on have really contributed to me not trusting my intuition on what's the next, and being very fearful, you know, about income and money and what a future, my future looks like at 52.
Yeah, this is a very exciting story, I have to say. I mean, you're really, so when you came to us at the retreat, I mean, you were absolutely stressed out. When you arrived, I was like, wow, I'm not sure this is going to be long enough or like deep enough to this actually to work, because you were so stressed out. It was just, you were all over the place. And the transformation that you had in those 3 weeks is just astonishing, because I couldn't even connect with you before you came on. You know, we had all of these calls and you were back and forth and we were, you know, chat. It's like you couldn't even focus in a call. And now it's almost 6 months later, because you're also in our mentorship program. I mean, you're still grounded. And that is the most exciting thing about this, I think. And you said, before we pressed record, you said, I've been through change before, but this is different. But it really feels like you're accessing the core of things now. And that's why things look different this time. And I'm so... I love how brave you are and how, no, but you're doing what I did, you know? I just left. I just packed my bag and left Sweden. I just like, I can't do this anymore. I just knew, you know, that life has to show me something else. There has to be something else in my life. And before we started recording, I spoke to this ability to create a completely new chapter in your life. And it feels like that's what you're doing. And then you said, yeah, but it's different this time. So what is it that you feel is different?
I think, well, you know, one is that I'm older. So, you know, when I was younger, I didn't really care as much. And I think, you know, the decisions I'm feeling now are a bit more permanent than before. I never had a plan. I just sort of like go, and it'd usually be quite negative change, because I was like escaping one, you know, I was running from my addiction basically. So I just like burn bridges, you know, then move to a different country to have my, you know, to be alcoholically drinking or drugging somewhere else. So, you know, now that I'm in recovery too, I'm sort of conscious that decisions I'm making now will impact the future. And I think a lot of it's bringing up a lot of my traumas that I have to deal with. You know, obviously we started great work at the farm, but, you know, I feel like I don't want to step into the next to create the same situation, yeah. You know, which I have done in the past. I've gone from stressful job to stressful job to sexual job. Like I'm recreating. So, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over. So I'm hoping to attract different results and have an outcome that's significantly different this time. Yeah. So in a way that I've put, you know, my old nature is to put a lot of pressure on myself, you know, to make sure I to achieve the right result and drive it and, you know, pros and cons. And but on the flip side, at certain times I just go, well, whatever will be shall be. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't sort of see into the future. So I think the mentorships help with that tremendously. Because I feel that there's like other people that are like me. It's not just me. There's several, you know, people in our group that are really at crossroads.
Yeah.
I really have been using all the tools to try and help me with that. Do you know what I mean? To pick up the tools. But yeah, it feels different this time, because I feel I'm like, on one side, I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself that I can manifest completely different results and have actually, for once, you know, create a happy, balanced life. And then the other side is just like, well, I can detach at times and just be like, okay, whatever shall be. But it's so like, you know, I'm like oscillating between the two. And in the meantime, I'm still in this job, which is longest resignation ever. But yeah.
Wow, yeah, I remember that, you know, just sitting waiting for the time to pass. But after that, what I feel is like after that, you will be free. After that, you will have, it's like you and your destiny, you know? And what has helped me tremendously in my inner journey, you know, I left with a carry-on bag, you know, to Thailand, and I didn't go back. I mean, I went back and had to deal with my stuff, but I just left it all. I just donated everything and had two suitcases when I was done. So we basically started from scratch. We didn't, you know, we just started where, you know, we started digging where we were at. Like, what do we have? What do I have? It's like, if I can't create from nothing, like what do I have?
And we just started there. And what I feel is the beauty of that is that we then created something that is only based on us, on our values, on our own karma, on our own destiny. You know, it's like everything is up to us. And
I like that.
Yes. And I love, because what you said, what will be, or come what may come. And when I've been afraid, that's what I've said to myself. Like, okay, so come what may come. And I know deep in my heart that I will survive that. I may lose things. You know, I'm like, oh, what if I can't? What if you can't? You know, we were living in the house in the city, like, oh, what if we can't pay rent? What if we can't pay the stuff? Like, okay, but I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
And then if that disappears, then it wasn't meant for me in the first place. So this deep trust in my own capability, because I was always like, I could always get some sort of job. I mean, like, because it's like you need to go in EFT, you kind of call it squeezing the lemon. You go from the biggest dream that you have. Like, if everything goes fantastic, this is what's happened. And if the worst thing that can happen, what would that be? So I had to explore that for myself. Okay, what would be the worst thing that could happen? Yeah, we have no clients and no money. I mean, that's usually, you know, where the scenario goes. But nowadays, when I think about it, what would be the worst thing that could happen? Yeah, that would be if I would get sick, if I didn't have my health.
Exactly.
But I mean, until today, that has not even crossed my mind.
That's one of my main reasons for leaving. It's like, obviously, the contrast between how I felt at the farm and how I felt afterwards really highlighted to me how toxic this job is for me, because I am like, basically, I have headaches every day now. I don't wake up. I go to sleep with a headache. I wake up. Yeah. Like, I can tell that it's really starting to affect my health. And that, like you say, is the worst case scenario for me. So I thought, you know, that's what ultimately made the decision easier, you know, and, you know, my best friend put up in a job she despised for years, and she firmly believes that her breast cancer came back because of that. So we're now nearly out the other side of her battle and journey with breast cancer, you know, which has been a long journey. So I don't, and we always seem to follow each other in life, like something she'll have, you know, a really bad marriage, then I'll have a bad relationship. Like, you know, we've always sort of met. So she said, Kim, get out before, you know, you have a cancer diagnosis, you know.
Yeah.
That woke me up a bit.
So, you know, coming from that aspect and the way that I have learned about life and about destiny and about crossroads and about manifestation, you know, it all comes from your truth. It's like the universe wants us to spiral down and just to get, you know, the root of the thing and then to spiral up. And I feel like that's exactly what you're doing.
I like it.
Yeah, because so before we start press record, you said, I'm leaving my house, I'm leaving my furniture, I'm leaving, you know, and you said that feels
husband.
A bit sad. What?
Husband.
Yes, husband since, what is it, 17 years?
Yeah.
So it feels like you've come to a point, and you were talking about this when you were here at the farm too. You said, I mean, you said that the marriage isn't what you would like it to be, and you feel like you need to get out of Phuket. I mean, you're in Phuket, Thailand. And it feels like your whole being just wants this crossroads, this reset. So what I'm feeling, because you're making all of these choices, you know, You could go anywhere in Thailand. You could stay. You could, you know, do a bunch of things. But it's like your truth is guiding you to go back to Australia. You haven't been there for a long time. And, you know, you're letting go of everything. So I feel that your whole being is just shedding. Just shedding, because you came here and you really started to look at yourself deeply, and you're still doing that. And you still sit here grounded. You know, I mean, I was just amazed by, you know, the way that you talk still, you know, because you're even if everything is super toxic around you, you don't entertain that. I feel like there's something inside of you that has made such a strong decision that enough is enough.
Yeah, and they even offered me incentives to stay.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I don't really have that intuition voice sometimes, but it was like this loud alarm bell. I entertained it for about 5 seconds into the conversation. And then I was just like, alarm bell, alarm bell. So I was like, yeah, no, that's not an option. So I think I'm opening up to being more intuitive now that I can actually start to hear the messages.
Yeah.
I just find sometimes I have to force myself to be still enough to listen to that.
Yeah. What I learned is that when I exactly what you say, like when I'm that I need to be still enough to listen, but it feels like you keep staying still enough to listen and then moving through, you know, that's the decision that I made almost 8 years ago, that I will never allow fear to keep me back from my decisions anymore. And just trusting that heart and trusting the body and trusting, you know, the soul and the vision and the dream, like the direction. I just trusted it 100%. And I just felt like, come what may come, but this is my path. And I'm feeling the same thing for you at the moment, because it feels like you're putting yourself in that position, like you're making the steps and you're making the bold moves to really make sure.
I'm trying to. Some days I'm like all together and I just think, yep. And then the next day, but you know what I've stopped doing? And this is a really clear sign from the universe. Every time I start to like hesitate or oscillate, I'm not joking, something like really dramatic's happening. Like I was thinking, do I really want to leave my home of 10 years in Phuket? And everyone comes here thinking, you know, it's paradise. Like to me, it's now hellish. It's overdeveloped. And I've lived here for over a decade, you know, and I've seen all the changes and the traffic. Like it takes me 2 hours to get home at night sometimes. Wow. Even my husband's over it. So he's really open to coming to Australia for the first time ever. So who knows where that'll lead. But anyway, I was in a call and then all of a sudden a car in the resort net lost control, careened down, smashed into the cement wall, flipped at the bottom of my driveway.
Oh my
I was like,
What happened when you started to doubt yourself?
Okay. And the week before, then I actually manifested, and I truly believe I had a bit of a car accident, which is very unusual. Like now I'm at the point like, okay, I hear you. I'm sticking to it. I'm out.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah, even at work, like I'll think, okay, maybe it's not as bad as I thought, and I start to prevaricate, and then I'll have a terrible meeting, or you know, I'm starting to get a little superstitious about it all. So
no, but you're seeing the connection between your doubt and something happening. Yeah, yeah, yes. I mean.
Because I have prayed for signs, like I've asked in meditation for signs and clear messages. So
so when you got them, you go like, oh, okay, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Like, okay, I'm definitely still resigning. It's a done. It's done.
Yeah, so this is the thing, you know, like trusting the body and moving through the fear. So if I would just ask you a question like, you know, show up from nowhere and like, is this the right decision? And you would say yes, you know, the body would just say yes. And so the the way to navigate the world and how we utilize, you know, the absolute. So being a woman is such a gift because we have such a profound connection with our bodies. And it's easier for women to reconnect with their bodies than for men. I'm saying this as a general thing. It's not all men, it's not all women. I mean, people can be super disconnected, but generally it's easier to work with women because through the periods and through childbirth and through our hormonal setup and all of that, we are supposed to be so in tune with our bodies. And it's the prerogative of the feminine to allow that the body knows. The body 100% knows. The body always speaks the truth. So the journey back to the body and the journey back to the wisdom of the feminine is to start to trust that intuition so deeply. And allowing that to lead, because the body always knows what to do. And from where I'm looking, you are starting to develop that pretty strongly. And moving through the fear and moving through the void, because everything in the universe is breathing. It's contracting and expanding, energetical, it's like a breath. And when we expand, things are happening. And when we contract, we are kind of squeezed by our circumstances to evolve. So we are squeezed by our circumstances. And then everything that is unprocessed kind of comes to the surface. And life will show us where we need to work. And then we harvest the fruits from that. And then things start to open up and we see more clearly, and it's what you say. And so the universe has these expansions and contractions on multiple levels at the same time. So there are long cycles and there are short cycles, and you can see the short cycles and the when you say, sometimes I feel like this is the right choice, I feel super, you know, confident, and then you're expanding and like, oh, I got this, and then you're contracting like no, and then yes, and then you get the doubt, and then you get the instant feedback from the universe, and then you get the mirror, where do I need to work? Okay, trust. That's what it is. You know, it's like the doubt and the fear. And what's the opposite? Yeah, I trust myself. I just have to follow and listen and surrender. So the universe is always giving us this mirror, and it could be in small things, it could be in big things. So when people ask me, how did I get to this place? How did I create this space? How did we come this far? This is what I did. I followed my body, my intuition, and what I knew was right, my truth, even though I was scared senseless.
And also, you're scared too.
Yes.
So brave to me. I can't imagine you being scared.
Oof. I've been so afraid, you know. I was even, you know, every night for so many, for probably a year or a year and a half, I woke up every night. It was in the house in Chiang Mai. I woke up at night and I had to go to the bathroom. And I was so afraid to go to the bathroom, because if I had just one thought in my head, I would access not fear but terror in my body, and it would get activated from anything, just, you know, darkness or just one single thought, and then I would not be able to sleep all night.
Wow. Is that because of your burnout? Like you're
yeah, it was. It's also because, I mean, what you and I have in common is the years of like drugs and alcohol,
yeah.
And those circumstances create a lot of fear in the body. I was doing a lot of things that created a lot of fear. And then I moved into the corporate, and that is also fear-based. It's always about getting ahead, not being left behind, not being valued, not being seen, like, getting, I don't even know what to call it, like, it's horrible.
Undermined
and kicked out and this and that and not being chosen and not getting promoted it's a very particular energy, and I got completely burnt out, and my body was also in a very bad shape, like my kidneys and my thyroid and all of that. So there, I had a lot of fear in my body. So what I learned was that I had to process that fear. So and how I navigated it was, okay, come what may come, I'm here in this position because I need to work through the fear in my body. I need to learn how to move with fear. And a lot of people call this, you know, that we come into this space of uncertainty that is called the void. Mm-hmm. And it's basically what I've learned for myself is that the more I can trust the universe and trust myself and trust my path, I can lean into the void and enjoy the void. And when you talk about abundance and manifestation and all of these things, the more common, like the widespread information about it is that from that void, there's endless possibilities. It's like when nothing is certain, anything can happen. Yes. And the female energy, the woman, has the ability to thrive in that space. That's why we are the visionaries, the creatives, and we have this superpower when it comes to manifestation. Because if we can lean into that space where anything is possible and we are excited about that, instead of being fearful that that nothing is, like, that everything is uncertain, instead of everything being uncertain, anything is possible. And if you can draw in your vision from there, that's how you really start to manifest. So
I like that. Anything
yes.
is possible.
So yeah, and that's how it is. And moving through that fear is the key. So if you can look at that fear and see that this is okay, I will leave this job and now I have another job, and my job is to serve myself. Because the more you serve yourself as the crystal ball that has all the answers, you need to polish that and maybe put it in a nice place and, you know, get it a nice cushion and maybe some flowers and, you know, like, ooh, maybe light a candle around it, you know. Cherish that, because your body is that vessel.
Mm.
So the body will always know what to do. And the more you can invest in your body, like your mind, yeah, like your physical body, your emotional body, your spiritual body, your mindset, your all of it, the easier it will be for you to connect to that wisdom and that guidance. And anything that is uncomfortable that comes up is just the next thing that you need to deal with in able to create this pure channel, this vessel, because then we will start to draw in the information from the universe and we can manifest from that space. Because manifestation is about what the heart truly wants, your truth, connected to your purpose and your alignment with the new universe. So it's like a straight line. I mean, nothing in your universe is not straight, it is straight, but there's this connection.
Mm.
And then when you live from the heart space, you can connect to, and then you're drawn. It's like you're drawn to it and it's drawn to you. So it's like, it's this polarity of things that's why they talk about what is it? Rumi has a beautiful quote that says, what you seek is seeking you.
I like that.
And it's all about finding that truth that is inside of you and trusting that is coming for you.
Yeah, I'm still struggling with the trust part sometimes. I go, because I really don't know what my purpose is. And I don't sort of know, like, do I, you know, I've got an interview tomorrow. Do I want another job or can I do something on my own? Yeah. You know, can I, you know, so I do. But luckily I'm so tired that I just give up sometimes thinking that because I'm still trying to get through, you know, the last stretch.
Yeah. I mean, it might be difficult for you to figure that out while you're in this environment still. Mm. And I think that, you know, it's about, I call it following the breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all you can do, even let's say that you have all the money in the bank and everything sorted, you still just follow the breadcrumbs of your life. Because when we start to plan too far ahead, unless it's like the heart project, you know, then we're out of sync with the body anyway. So it doesn't really matter if you have all the security in the world. I mean, basically, the hurt that you're feeling is that you are, you know, unplugging yourself from, you know, the safety of the matrix, so to speak, like the safety yeah. of, you know.
I like that, the matrix. It really does feel like that sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you're done with the corporate. I mean, you already know all of these things, that you're not going to do these things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So unplugging from that is also this. So the society is created in a way that we are led to believe that having a job and living the normal life is safety.
Mm.
But it's also, we're also confined in that, because then we can't do everything else.
Mm.
So it's like...
And in my family, you should always be doing something you really don't enjoy. Like, you know, there's this thing that work is suffering and you have to do it and you just get on with it. But generally you should be miserable at it. You know what I mean? So I'm finding my family's like freaking me out by saying, oh my God, so are you going to be like unemployed?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. So you're already aware that you're facing all of your generational traumas and imprints like, yes. So that is a big thing. Like detaching yourself from, I mean, there's this story that I've told so many times, but it's, I was in Sweden and I went to my old hairdresser and she's half Thai. And she's super excited that I'm moving to Thailand, and you know, we're just super excited. So I came to see her when I came, and then when I was leaving to like a month or two later, I came back to see her again. And then she said, wow, it was so funny, because last time you were here, I had another client after you, and I was so excited about your story that I started to share it. Oh, she's moving to Thailand and she's selling everything she owns. And the other customer got freaked out. Oh my God, how is she going to survive? What are they going to do? Da, da, da. And she was like, wow, she doesn't even know you. And she got freaked out. And that's how much fear people have about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand what we're up against, you know? So it's for you to give you so much grace in this process, and don't have expectations on yourself that you're not supposed to feel these things.
Okay. That's a good point.
You have to feel these things. These are the feelings that people avoid, so they stay where you are now.
It's very insidious, but it's not very obvious, is it? Like sometimes,
Yeah.
you know, the fear and the conditioning is very insidious.
Yeah.
It manifests itself in ways I'm surprised at. Like, you know, it's very committed to status, and people are like, well, you're an idiot to give up a job. And like, why are you leaving Thailand? Everyone pays to come here, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I've got, it's, and I love how many people seem to think what's best for me. Like, I'm
Exactly.
like,
So
sorry,
can
what was
you
your name again?
exactly, and can you see where they are coming from?
I guess now you're sharing it from fear. Yeah, I guess
Yes,
so.
from their own fear that or an imprints that they have been programmed with. So what you're doing, breaking free from all of that, is that's why I say that it's very brave, because you have to face the fear of the imprints that you've had, and it doesn't matter where you got the fear. Maybe it didn't have anything to do with work, but it's the fear that is imprinted from society on so many different levels that you are facing by yourself. I mean, you have us and you have community, but there's no one else that can do it for us.
That's true, yeah.
And that is very honorable, and that is very brave. And that's why it's like self-love, compassion, patience, all of that is super, super important.
Okay. And
Super
I've
important.
found too, taking time, you know, sometimes I just I'm setting clear boundaries with it and just taking time for myself. I feel that I
Yeah.
need to really sometimes just, especially here where it's such a frenetic, I just withdraw a little bit. And so I don't know. Some people call it isolating, but I'd like your opinion on this, your input on this, because for me, I don't feel at this point it's isolating. It's like I need to get quiet desperately because I feel very breathless and wired. So I just need to sort of retreat. But is
Yeah.
that isolating? I don't
No, 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 no.
know.
No, isolation is when you refuse to have interaction with people, and you kind of, you move to the woods and you don't see anyone, and you become that weird person that nobody really knows,
I'm just
That's
weird in a different way.
isolation.
Okay.
And what we went through during the years that has been here previously, that's isolation, when you're forced to retreating back into silence and grounding is the opposite. That's nurturing, that's self-love, that's self-care, that's nervous system regulation is what that is.
Okay.
And yes, and people aren't doing that because their nervous systems are so activated that they need to be around other people who are as activated to help them to not come back to the body too often, because it's uncomfortable. I mean, that's what it was for me. I realized that every time I went out drinking, it was because I couldn't bear to be with myself. I was bored. There was some weird feeling. I mean, I don't even remember that feeling any longer, but it has come up during my years of healing. Like, I could say to Simba, like, oh my God, this is the feeling that created all the chaos. I can see it now because my instinct is to, I could just see my pattern. My body was just like, wow, we need to distract ourselves from this. And my go-to was alcohol and drugs and, party and sex and all kind. I mean, I was just looking for something to stimulate that sensation in the body. So taking time for ourselves is the key to connect to the body, listen to the wisdom, allow the heart to speak, and for us to get back to that center where we know what to do and who we are, and also allow the nervous system to regulate, but also to just give everything some space. Integrate, it's this expansion and contraction again. You go into the social and then you contract because there's so much going on, and then you go into the retreat, like when you step back and you can expand again and you can relax, and then you go into whatever you need to do, and then you need to But you can't stay in this contracted space all the time, because then your body will become out of balance.
Which is what it is at the moment. So, but, you know, obviously I'm doing some of my practices still as well. So that I think that's helped keep me on track, thank God. So I just find that sometimes I'm struggling still with to move these extra kilograms that have happened during this job. Yeah. Simba told me it was probably stress. You know, I've always blamed menopause, but I'm doing tapping on it and stuff. But I'm just, you know, is it like I'm holding on to it? I'm trying to work out how I address that, because it's quite distressing for me. It makes me feel heavy psychologically and physically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and I find it was easy to fast, like when I was in the farm and you guys were there monitoring, but I'm finding it hard to regulate outside. Like, I'm still not doing sugar, but I'm just wondering if you could, because I find that sort of another, it's something else for me to stress about, and I seem to be seeking those things to find to stress about. You know what I mean? No, I stress about stress causing me distress.
Yes. So it sometimes, you know, the body is looking for an outlet for stress. So the mind is trying to find something to obsess about.
Okay.
So, and that's part of the problem, that we obsess about things and we try to fix it because that's what we are trained to do. There's something wrong. I need to fix it. I need to do more. I'm not doing enough, blah, 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 different things, you know? And usually the solution is that I'm not doing something good enough. I'm doing something wrong. I should be doing differently. So that is one of the core issues with everything that we have going on, is that we blame ourselves and we guilt ourselves and we stress ourselves and we judge ourselves. We talk negatively about ourselves, you know, all of those things. And then the mind just chooses something to be bad at. And the thing with the weight is that when you look at it, you can just see how wildly programmed we are with body image and what it's supposed to. I mean, it's just so obvious. But when we are going through our deep trauma, everything is connected in the body, in the tissues, in the cells, in the water. So the chemistry in the body starts to change. And sometimes when we are addressing a lot of our deepest trauma, we use food as grounding, and the body can hold on to things. There's so many processes in the body that are so complicated that we are trained to kind of eat less, exercise more. That's it for weight. But it's not only that. It's water retention, it's grounding, it's so many different things going on. So it all comes back to, so for me, for instance, I started to gain weight when I started to do my deepest trauma healing. And what I realized was that it was connected to so much self-loathing, being like the feeling that I got when I gained weight was so much self-hate. And I could see my pattern in my life, that when I gained weight, I started hating myself so much that it gave me the fuel to lose it. And then I felt good about myself, so I didn't have that feeling. But I couldn't stay there. So my body automatically put me back in that situation. And what I realized for myself is that that was the body's way of showing me that you need to deal with how you feel about yourself. So it was the lack of self-love and the lack of acceptance of who I am at any shape. Like this total self-love. And what I am experiencing now is that the option of hating myself to change to exercise more and eat less is not, it's not accessible anymore. I can't do that. It's like my body can't, I've done that too much. I've burned those cylinders too much. So I can't do that anymore. So I have to find another way. I have to find another practice. I have to find a new lifestyle. And everything comes back to harmony. So I need to find the harmony of my lifestyle that my body wants, that my body loves. So everything from the body is an invitation to something, because the body doesn't put on weight unless it finds it to be the best solution available, because it's pragmatic. The body is 100% pragmatic, but it's also highly influenced by the mind.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's all about finding your truth and healing yourself to the point where the body comes back to balance. And loving yourself every single step of the way. And look at the emotion that comes up. Like, what do you feel about gaining weight? So
self-loathing resonates with me as well. Yeah. So like it just proves to me all the things that I can't achieve. Do you know what I mean? So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
I always think I should be doing more or doing better. Yeah. I'm never doing something well enough or good enough.
And for me, I also have to accept the damage that I have done to my body over the years.
Yeah, it's amazing we're still standing, both of us. Yeah.
Yes. And I need to love myself every step of the way and take accountability for what I've done. And accountability for the way forward. And then we come back to what we talked about in the beginning, that it's about listening to the body, just taking one step in front of the other. Do what you believe is true, and then trust the process and trust your own capability. And what you need to do will be presented for you. Because we can't take action on anything that hasn't been presented for us. Right? So whatever you have in front of you, you need to make a decision about it. And being in the now and making decisions that are as short term as possible, almost. You know, not be involved in the future in a way where you can't control it anyway. So that's what I decided to do. I'm going to just put one foot forward, and I'm not going to make a decision based out of fear. And if I make the decision that I know is right for myself, then I will have to, then I will gladly face the consequences of that, because then it's my path.
Okay. Yeah, I sometimes feel at odds, because some people say, like, visualize your future. And I'm a bit like you at the moment. I can visualize my last day of work walking out the door and the complete relief to not have to deal with, you know, upwards of 50 emails a day or whatever. And it's so funny. They said to me, make sure you give your laptop back on the last day. I'm like, can I give it now? Like, it's a month, it's 5 weeks away.
Don't worry, I'm not keeping it.
I am not giving it. We'll have to shut down your email. I'm like, please do. I'm like, you can have it all. And I'm going to start deleting certain apps straight away, like out the front door.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find it hard because I'm so unclear of what my next step is, except, you know, that my best friend's picking me up at the airport in Brisbane. I don't really have a visual, except just a feeling of being free and, you know, being in nature more. So it's quite nebulous to me. I don't have this clear vision of the future, which I then get stressed about. Like, I should be able to visualize more. I should know exactly what I'm doing, you know?
Well, the point with manifestation is to not envision the exact vision, because then you're blocking the whole thing. But you know where you're going. You're going to peace. You're going to freedom. You said nature. You want to work for yourself to design your own days. You know where you want to go, but you don't know what that will look like exactly. And that's the part where we know what it's going to feel like. And you can, like, maybe you get like an image of a place where you live. It's in nature. It's silent. You have your dogs. So you do see it, but you don't know where, you don't know when, and you don't know how, and you don't know exactly what it's going to look like.
Mm.
But you do know it. You know you're going to go to Australia. You know you're going to get picked up in Brisbane. You know you're going to meet your best friend, you know? And you know what your heart is longing for. You know what your soul is looking for. I mean, the first thing you said when I met you the first time was, I want to do what you do. So you already know these things. But you don't know exactly how and where and when, and that's not for you to figure out.
Oh, good, because I haven't. So that's a good, that's good news.
No, that's the universe is going to present that to you. If you stay on that, that's where I'm going, and I'm not going to compromise with anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You were already presented with another offer in the where you're at now, and you entertain it for 5 seconds, and your body just like no. So you listen to the body. Is this a yes or a no?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we can do, you know. And then we work with what comes up. Okay, now I have fear. Now I have stress. Now I have the voice of my whole family. Are you unemployed? Yes, it means I'm going to die tomorrow. No, it doesn't, you know?
It means I'll be hitting you up for money. No.
Exactly. No. And it's up to them and pay to give you some or not, you know?
Yeah, definitely not. The last time was when I was 15, so I don't think that's happening.
So you see, you know, you're putting yourself in a position where you're forcing yourself to grow. And that's very admirable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to Simba's meditation on that too, the yes or no and the choices we make. Yeah. So
yes.
I think that's really helping me and the tapping. I am picking up the tools, which I'm quite proud of myself, Adelaide, doing the fascia stretching and stuff. Yeah. So,
I mean, it's clear to me that you're doing that, because otherwise you would have gone straight back to where you were at before you came to us at the retreat. And you clearly aren't.
Thank you. I don't see that sometimes because it's me. I sort of, you know, it's hard to look on the outside. So.
Of course, that's super difficult.
Mm-mm. So thank you for that. But I must admit, like, I you know, when we were all talking about crossroads and Mark in the last session, we did a tapping, but before he started the tapping, he said visualize yourself at an actual physical crossroads. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because I visualized like a Texas T-junction, you know, and like in the movies where it's just like flat. And it was all like brown and, you know, tumbleweed. Texas like behind me. And then when I did look, and I didn't really think I was doing it myself, I saw like beautiful trees and nature across the road. So I was like, right, cool, not going left or right or backwards, I'm going to just go straight ahead. And there was like trees and nature and coolness. So I just walked straight, and it was a beautiful visualization that I didn't plan, but it's just like, to me, you know, there's no going back, no left or right, just go ahead to that. So that was a nice visualization I had in that session.
Yeah. So you already know where you're going.
Just got to have trust in myself. I find that difficult.
Yeah, it is difficult. It is difficult. But it's because we've been disconnected from the body for such a long time. And remember, it's only 6 months since you came from the retreat. It's such a short time. And you've come so far during this time. And you've been following the guidelines of the body the whole way. I mean, it's not like we told you to quit your job. You're just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And you just push the exit button and like, okay, my parachute will come out and I will have time to
stories,
think.
Yeah, I think your stories helped me do that. Like Mark and you and Simba, the fact that you did all choose completely different lifestyles radically from what was accepted did inspire me. Like it did give me the courage and say, hey, well, they landed on their feet. So maybe I can too. You know? And I found I really reassessed my priorities. Like I don't need to have, you know, a VIP car space or a BMW, you know what I mean? I just want to have a sense of peace and contribution.
Yeah.
And I've just realized too that since I started talking to other people that I don't have to do it all alone, maybe I can collaborate with people rather than just do it all on my own.
Yeah. Did you watch my Year of the Dragon masterclass?
I did. I'd rewatch it again because there was a lot of stuff in there.
But I talk about that the year, the energy of this year is collaborations. It's like we're coming together. We're not isolating ourselves anymore. We're coming together and like-minded people are going to have healthy, strong, successful collaborations. Because people understand that I need to be free, but we need to be together. I don't have to be alone. That's not the vibe.
I like that. Yeah, that really resonated with me. I listened to it on the really long drive home in the car, so I am getting value by listening to your masterclasses in the car.
That's so funny.
I feel like I'm living with you and Simba and Mark sometimes. It's like, yes, I'm in the car with you.
Yes, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. I love that. I'm so happy that it resonates.
Yeah, because I wake up and listen to Simba's voice and the meditations and I'm doing the lymphatic drainage mass thing.
Yeah, but you're doing all the things and that is the biggest advice that I can give you on this path is to understand what's going on. Like you're actually moving through a lot of heavy energy to be free. And that staying with the practices is what's going to pull you through it because the grounding is going to be number one. And then deal with whatever you're being faced with in from a standpoint that it's a mirror. I'm growing. I'm standing up now. I'm releasing my shackles. I'm walking my path.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's a mirror. Oh. I love this. This has been amazing. Like it just makes it, I get real encouragement when I know that I'm not unique, that others have had these crises and have like yourselves, you know, because that's what I value. It's all easy for people that hear that have never, like they've stayed in the same job for 16 years, 20 years. They hate it, but they're stuck here. Do you know, they stay. And I find that, you know, people that have had, you know, the crisis and have come out the other side, because, you know, it's walking away from, you know, a big paycheck or a regular paycheck, you know, you feel, wow. But now that you guys have shown the way, I think, no, I'd prefer. And what do I want? You know, like, do I really want, like, I don't know. I only have two handbags, so I can't use the analogy of a handbag, but, you know, do I really want a Gucci handbag?
Yeah.
Well, I really couldn't give a you know.
I actually gave away all of my designer bags and shoes and everything that I had. I donated to charity. I didn't even sell it.
Wow, I just gave it away. Yeah, I'm going to give away all my work clothes, I've decided. I don't want to keep anything that I worked in. Yeah. My
it's all about shedding the energy
at the moment. The team here, they're just like, what's happening today, Kim? What are you bringing in?
Things up for donation. That's what we do.
And you've never regretted anything you gave away or whatever?
Nothing.
Mm.
Nothing.
Nothing. I thought so.
I'm not a hoarder.
Neither am I, but I just feel even some things I'm weirdly attached to that I didn't think I was.
Yeah, but you know that's okay. That's okay. I mean, some stuff, but you know, it's just anything that I've gotten rid of has been no. I mean, of course, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have thrown away that thing. I would have needed that right now, but then I just like, oh well, and then I move on.
Yeah. And in Thailand, it helps because there's so many people in need of things. So giving always feels 100%. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So natural recycling, you put something out and you look out 10 minutes later, it's gone. Especially
yes. 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 I love that. I love that about Thailand. You just put it next to your box, or your trash, and then it's gone.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's incredible.
That. Yeah. We don't need color-coded bins here.
No. All right, I'm going to pause the recording.
Thank you for this, Sarah. That was wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I hope it helps someone else too, and I'm sure it will.
I'm 100%. I'm very this conversation is very, very powerful. So thank you for being open and sharing that.
Thank you.
Because and I love what you said, that you said that I love that I'm not unique. And that's so cool, because, and you also say, I hope that this will help someone else, because it's like, we're all there, you know, we're all in the same boat. We're not as different from each other as we think. So I love that you love that you're not unique and that you want to share and help other people. That's manifesting. It truly is manifesting. Yes.
Thank you.
So thank you so, 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 so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and please send us a DM for any questions, inquiries, or consultations. Please follow us on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn. And please visit our website, livingwiththespirit.com, to read more about us and what we do. And remember, freedom and purpose is your birthright. Lots of love.